Hello.
Hello.
I think with various people away and so on, and I think Sheila's probably still just about isolating, isn't she? Does anybody know how her son is? I know he tested positive, but I don't know whether he was ill with it at all. Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together this morning. And we just ask your blessing now upon those who are unable to be with us today for whatever reason. And, we pray that they will be aware of your presence right now. Father, we ask you to touch us by your Holy Spirit today. May we have ears to hear what you're saying to us. May we have right hearts to bring you worship, Lord. May we bring you our prayers today and be blessed to see you at work. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou, mine inheritance, now and always. Marion's going to bring us a reading in a moment about a chap who would have found that verse difficult to sing, perhaps. And after Marion brings the reading, Ron and Hazel are going to lead us in some prayers. Marion.
Reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 31. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last." This is the word of God.
Can we have a time of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to come together for prayer and fellowship. And we particularly ask that you will comfort those who have suffered greatly in the devastating recent floods in Germany and elsewhere. Please be close to those who have lost loved ones, their homes and their possessions. And we also remember people who are in threat of floods, fire and famine. And we pray that leaders of nations will come together and agree on the necessary steps that will be required to help with these problems. We also remember at this time all those who suffer persecution because of their Christian faith. We remember all those in the Middle Eastern countries and North Africa. And Lord, as we come to this particular phase in our journey out of lockdown, we pray that people will be mindful of the ever-rising virus infection numbers and that we will heed the warnings and not drop our guard too quickly. And Lord, we pray for your wisdom, your strength and power to be constantly present in our lives. And we pray too, Lord, that we will keep our focus on you. Please give us insight and discernment to understand your will and know your ways better, so that we bring glory and honour to your holy name. Amen.
So can we continue with prayer? We pray this morning for all those of our fellowship who are unable to meet with us at this time, for whatever reason. We ask that you will be close to them, Lord. Bless them and keep them in your peace. We think particularly of Frank and Pat, as Frank goes for tests and a scan at Blackburn this week. We trust that the results will be good. We continue to give thanks for Jenny's progress, which we pray will continue, so that Jenny and Ian will be able to worship with us once again. We also give thanks this morning for Craig's recovery from the virus. And we thank you that he has now gone back to work. We think also of Wayne, Sheila's son, who has the virus at this particular moment, and we pray that he will make a full recovery. We pray for Cape and Ray Bible College, NISCU, Keswick Convention, as they strive to spread your word in and around this area. Keep them all safe, Lord, in these troubled times. We ask all these prayers in your dear Son's name. Amen.
I was feeling creative, so I came up with a natty title. Well, I think it's a natty title for the talk. Two rulers and a couple of gates. So, thinking back to our reading from Mark 10, and the account of Jesus' encounter with the young man in there is also described in Matthew 19 and Luke 18. So between the three Gospels, we learn from Matthew that the man is young. Luke tells us he's a ruler. And they all tell us he's rich. He's eager to speak with Jesus. He runs to him. He's prepared to humble himself. He kneels before him. Neither's very dignified for a man of his social standing. But though a man of great wealth and position, he's incredibly respectful towards this wandering rabbi. He has a genuine question, which is clearly important to him. Even though young, he's concerned about eternity. You often hear these days, you know, don't think you're too young when you start work to be thinking about your pension. Well, we're going way beyond the pension here. This young man was thinking about eternity. He's willing to learn and prepared to do something differently. He believed the answer when he received it. He didn't argue, but went away sad. So that to me indicates, well, he believed what Jesus said. He just didn't think he could face up to it. Because he had great wealth, he wasn't prepared to do things that differently. Let's look at how Jesus responds. First of all, he's motivated by love. Verse 21 says he loved him. That's the Greek word agape. It means that love that gives with no expectation of receiving anything in return. Jesus is motivated by love. He wants to do the right thing for this guy. And I think he discerns what this chap's like. In verse 19, he lists the commandments about how to treat other people. This chap's kept them from childhood and continues to do so. He's a good chap. Surely that would be enough. People today want it to be enough to be a good chap or a good chapess. But is it? Jesus wants him on the team. Verse 21, come follow me. He's turned others down that have said, oh, let me follow you. Sometimes because he knows God has a different plan for them. Sometimes because their initial enthusiasm is not actually genuine commitment. But he calls this guy with the same words he called the 12, Peter and Andrew and James and John and the others. Come, follow me. He knows the issue. One thing you lack, he says to the man. The thing that is more important than God, and that's the sticking point, it's the man's wealth. It's not that wealth of itself is wrong. But if it takes preeminence, is more important than God, that's where it's a problem. And that goes for whatever else might be more important than God. We've covered in previous weeks some of those difficult sayings of Jesus. You know, unless a man hates his father and mother, he will not enter the kingdom of God. You know, not literally hate your parents, but as a contrast, God must be absolutely first above all things and all people, and then everybody else. Love God, and then love your neighbour as yourself, your family. So this chap had something that was a sticking point for him. It was his great wealth. And Jesus told him that he needed to get rid of that because it was a blockage. Not because he wanted to be a Killjoy. Not because he wanted the chap to be, you know, poor like him. But because he knew it was the sticking point, the thing that was actually preventing him entering into a life of greater fullness, of greater blessing. One thing you lack. You see, the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all kinds of evil. I got slightly twisted there, didn't I? Ah, yeah, I got an extra word. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, which is what people often say. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. That's the problem. Let's unpack the reference to the camel from verse 25. It's often been taught that there was a gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and that when the main gates closed at dusk, that's the gate late arrivals would have to use to get into the city. And it said that the gate was too small for a camel to get through unless the baggage it was carrying was first removed. But Jesus was not talking about a literal gate that camels could squeeze through. There isn't any proof that such a gate ever existed. Elsewhere, he refers to himself as the gate. We'll come to that in a few moments. But the idea of Jesus talking about a small gate that was very difficult to get through is quite convenient if you're inclined to achieve things by your own efforts. And mankind is so very often inclined, due to pride, to do anything rather than humbly rely on God. That problem's right there at the beginning, at Adam's fall from grace. The temptation was, "Hi, you can be all right, you don't need God." The suggestion is that though it is not easy, and you may have to unload a few things along the way, it's possible to get into God's kingdom if you're willing to make the necessary sacrifices. But to infer that we can squeeze our way into God's kingdom by our own efforts is the polar opposite of what Jesus taught in this incident and elsewhere. Jesus meant what he said and expressed humorously. A literal camel through a literal needle, and as it says on that slide, not to scale. Although even on that scale, there's no chance of that camel getting through that eye, is there? Absolutely impossible. And it's not possible for a rich man to save himself. In fact, it's not possible for any man, any one of us, to save ourselves. You can't make enough sacrifices. You can't unload enough baggage to squeeze in. The disciples understood precisely what he meant. That's why they immediately asked amongst themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Another ruler came to see Jesus, a Pharisee named Nicodemus. We read of him in John 3. Jesus presented him with the same problem. A bit of background first. The Pharisees, in an apparent attempt to win God's approval, were known for taking Jewish laws to ridiculous degrees. On one occasion, Jesus pointed out that they even gave a tenth of their spices as an offering. That kind of diligence is extremely difficult, but perhaps achievable, if you try hard enough. However, in that same passage, which is in Matthew 23, Jesus also points out that the Pharisees strain out gnats and swallow camels. That's one of my favourite sayings of Jesus. He liked an amusing turn of phrase. I'm sure he still does. But I know he still does. They strain out gnats and swallow camels. In other words, they're so busy trying to look after all this kind of tiny religious detail that actually they've layered upon what God said, that they miss the more important things. Jesus goes on to say that on the outside they appear to people as righteous, but on the inside are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So much for tithing herbs and spices. But it's actually quite easy to fall into the trap of appearing to do things for God, but in reality being more concerned about winning man's approval. Especially if, as a child or young adult, you weren't part of the in crowd. Pushed to the outside, like Sue Thomas that I was speaking about last week. Actually, I find it a constant battle. There's that temptation to win man's acceptance. You know, can I prepare a nice talk that you all approve of? Here, hang on. Whose approval am I supposed to be winning? Am I supposed to be preparing a nice talk, or hopefully bringing what God has called me to bring, with which I pray he'll bless each one of us? So yes, it's baffled. It wasn't just the Pharisees. Man's acceptance can appear so much more obvious and therefore more immediately attractive than God's. Rejection by people is painful, and it can be tempting to avoid that rather than to seek acceptance by God. Perhaps that's why the church seems to so readily adopt false teaching. It starts right from the time when the disciples were still alive. Many of the epistles contain warnings against false teachers, and it's gone on through the last two millennia, and we see it so evident today, false teaching in the church. The leaders and members want to be acceptable within the framework of national culture, and seems very ready to dispense with what God actually says. Anyway, returning to Nicodemus, I'm glad to say he turned out to be genuine. We come across him again following Jesus' crucifixion, when he and Joseph of Arimathea take care of Jesus' body. But in John 3 we see that he came to speak secretly to Jesus, because he was worried. You see, he was worried about what others would think, what his fellow rulers of the people. But Jesus didn't chastise him for that. He saw his heart. And Jesus told him, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus replied, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." See, Jesus has done it again. He said, "You need to do the impossible." Well, he appears to have said that. Actually, he said, "God will do the impossible." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.'" You see, Jesus' answer to both rulers is the efforts of the flesh, that is, a person's own effort, cannot secure entry into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a squeeze that can be managed. That would suggest that we can do it if we try hard enough. It's impossible for man, just as the disciples observed. It takes a divine miracle for a sinner to make it into the kingdom. And because of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, we call this miracle the new birth, being born again. Impossible for people, but possible for God. Let's return to the subject of gates. In John 10, verses 7 to 10, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've already indicated that Jesus' message to the two rulers was that they could not earn their way into heaven by goodness or religious acts, but that it takes a divine miracle, an act of grace, that is, a free gift of God. Here, Jesus indicates the means for that miracle of acceptance into God's kingdom to take place. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. It's implied in his request to the rich young man, follow me. It's made clear in his claim in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The message that bookends the account in Mark 10, verses 14 to 15 from that chapter. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And at the other end of the reading, verse 31, many who are first will be last, and the last first. Matthew 18 records that the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Muhammad Ali was known for declaring loudly and clearly, I am the greatest. I think that even he meant in the field of boxing. During this year's Tour de France, I've got to get a cycling reference in, Mark Cavendish has repeatedly been hailed as the greatest sprinter in the history of the Tour, or simply the greatest sprinter of all time. That's sprinter on the bike. And I'm hoping this evening to see him on the Champs-Élysées breaking Eddie Merckx's record of Tour wins. Tour de France stage wins, that is. 35 would be a new record. But it's not status, wealth, ability, or even goodness that counts with God. It's whether or not we're prepared to follow, whatever the cost. Prepared to serve, no matter how small or how great the task which God has set before us. I can find, people are very shy of what they might be able to bring to a service. And in one sense, that's right. You know, we need to be humble. But on the other hand, God endows us with gifts, and he wants us to come as little children and bring what we have. Of course, the most famous story on that one is the boy with the loaves and fish with which Jesus fed the 5,000, and that was just the adults. Jesus wants us to be confident in him, to bring what it is that he has given us to share. In a nutshell, my message today is, it doesn't matter how inadequate you may feel as a disciple of Jesus. Your acceptance doesn't depend on what you can do, but on what he's already done. If you've committed your life to him, you are a child of God, a member of his kingdom. It doesn't matter how inadequate you may feel about serving God, he will equip you to do whatever task, big or small, that he calls you to do. And remember, all things are possible with God. Let's pray. Father, we are inadequate, and that's a good thing, because as you say in your word, your strength is made perfect in weakness. So Father, when we have a sense of our inadequacy, perhaps when wanting to speak of you to others that don't know you, Lord, would you just give us that little prod of your Holy Spirit to say, I can speak through you. Remind us, Lord, that it is not in our own strength that we are to do those things that you call us to do, but in the endless resources that you bring to us. Thank you, Father, that you promised to equip us. Thank you, Father, that you approve of us when we seek to serve you in humility. Thank you, Father, that you can use even us to build your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would use Heron Hill Free Church to establish your kingdom on this estate, to spread the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, the good news that there is forgiveness available, the good news that a man or a woman can be born again, born of the Spirit. Father, teach us to serve you with confidence in you. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's quite a lot, isn't it? This is from Ephesians. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. Shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.